I also just want to draw on quickly from what Kate experienced and showed us and told us today, and then also from what Ali was saying yesterday about this kind of body knowledge, when she spoke from body knowledge, and talk about welcomes and acknowledgements, because it's something I think about a lot, and that is we're doing it on the very public scale, but they also can be very personal and very private and very intimate. And like, if you find yourself going back home and getting an auntie asking you to make you a cup of tea, that's like welcome level 10. And also acknowledgement in terms of like when you're just going home and you're walking across country and you're walking places and that feeling in your side of you is saying, say something, say your name to the place and watch it unfold to you. That's all I want to say about that. I've been going home and scrawling drunken poems since you all been here, which is kind of, well, this is one that I got from it, and only today did I find a title after the events. It's called The Spirit of Australia. I wish it was funny, it's just angsty. Mateship fills this white tube like toothpaste, all crusty up the front, where the team is sitting, spitting, catcalling, shifting, just a little. It's proof of a good night. Their roister, an ancient sound, conjuring halls, thralls, thanes. Saxon words like murder linger on in their red mouths and on the lips of stewards and passengers. So fond and accommodating, as their babies flinch at the sounds and smells, as the privy floor slops and the old pretend to sleep and somewhere villages burn. Islander man, ashamed, must carefully announce that the mess is not his. Inside that toilet, okay? As he knows it would not be lovable larrikinism, blokiness, or a fair go if it was coming from him, or the Korean businessman, or particularly us mob here holding up ladders, our tongues, our peace. A fight breaks out amongst the lads, flight attendants grinning ruefully and shaking their heads as the blokes let off steam and crying babes are shushed. Shh. That actually happened on my flight home once. And this poem about my teen angst of not knowing my ancestral language and then sort of spending the last 10 years learning not only that, but all the ones that connect up to it. It's called Our Old Tongue, in brackets, in English. To live in a wingless age, flying with sanguine expectation, in the wave movements, in the noun harmonic duties, in search of islands, in a ponder. As soon as day broke, we land for a purpose of carrying out the objective rejuvenations of these summit songs. In the distance, the fires. Into single file, forthwith beat the trail leading to the emotional interior, flow of walking with hushes and singing. As a relief to the landscape, for the fun of fellow art and puzzle task direction, we point straight off to obtain a view, having made a sign, in gently rising lingos, by a sort of Freemasonry or similarity of language, a luminary footing appears, a wordless choralism itching its way into the ear like a vista. Sans mythology, we immediately strip ourselves, dinoangu yadara, that oneness of sway, Anthology of Rivers. This one is from the anthology, but I've rejigged it quite a bit, or a little bit. It's called Warrior. Nocturnal, we are biology under light of moon and summoner of storm. We prefer to walk. Cryptic, our appearance eludes. We are fallen timber, we are grass. We are the chromatic leaf litter, thick-kneed, stilt legs, large head, yellow eyes. Our song is fear in timbre. We play the wailing infant, the mourning mother. Our chorus raised on sex, we are massacre by the river. Hisses, clicks, croons, a coda of shuddering plume. We are bringers of grave news, unfettered, unsettling. Our eyes on you, we dream appearing. And now I'll read from my pirate poems, the cut-ups of Cook's diaries, or my pirate poems, which I like to call them. It's called Over the Sun's Disc, but I like to call them pirate poems. I shall conclude the account of this country with a few words on the currents and tides. First myth. This poem is to my hometown on Darawal, where this is set on Under the Eagle and Lyrebird Dreaming. Impressions of April 29th, 1770. Wind southerly and clear, cloud cloth against coast weather. As we approached the shore, they all made off, except two men, who seemed resolved to oppose our endeavorous landing. One of them took up a stone and threw at us the white pill placebo, sailing modernity, which caused my firing a second musket, loaded with small shot. And although some of the shot struck into the mouth of a dream, does not the man advanced into the woods we found here swallow a few small huts made of the bark of trees, in one of which were four or five small children with whom we left that first myth as some string of beads, etc. A quantity of darts lay artifactual about the huts. These we took away with us. Transit of Venus. The excuse. Astronomers were flows of full change, anxious to take the sun southward to observe the transit of Venus, charred by name, but looked upon it, and reddish clay has an invented story to cover some other design, for he could form in our favour no other idea of that phenomenon. I read that one the other night. We need the time.
It was good. We did.
The other one? All right. I know. Love you, Lynn. Between this and Botany Bay. An opportunity to view, an opportunity to view, an opportunity to view the country which had an opportunity to view. A very agreeable and promising aspect, diversified with hills, promising aspect, diversified with hills, diversified with hills, ridges, plains, and diversified with hills, ridges, plains, and valleys, some few small ridges, plains, and valleys, some few small valleys, some few small lawns, but for the most part valleys, some few small lawns, but for the most lawns, but for the most part the whole was lawns, for the most part the whole was part, the whole was covered with wood. The part, the whole was covered with wood, the covered with wood. The hills and ridges rise covered with wood, the hills and ridges rise with hills and ridges rise with a gentle slope. Neither hills and ridges rise with a gentle slope, neither a gentle slope, neither are there many. A gentle slope, neither are there many, are there many, are there many. There are also islands laying under the land. The shore of the main lies nearest, the face of the country rolling obliquely. This one's called Terra Incognito. Dr. Solander had a bare sight of a small animal, something like a rabbit, and we found the dung of an animal which must feed upon grass, and which we judge could not be less than a deer. We also saw the track of a dog or some such like animal. I embarked in the boats in order during our stay to row up the lagoon. In this harbour, we saw a great deal of smoke. We caused the English fire colours in a very small compass to be displayed ashore. Cockle shells laying every day and an inscription by them, but the people were gone. To be carved out, they had in the night, upon one of the trees, naked as they are, slept in open air, near the watering place. This is called Sonnet Boon. I went in the pinnace to the head in order to examine the country and to try and form some connections. We found the face of the country much the same as I have before described, but the land much richer, for instead of sand, I found in many places a deep black soil, which we thought was capable of producing any kind of grain, and timber, as fine meadow as ever was seen. However, we found it not all like this. Some few small places were very rocky, but this I believe to be uncommon. The stone is sandy, proper for building. People will hardly admit of an excuse for a man leaving a coast unexplored he has once discovered. This poem, even though it's a very much a reclaimed word in my family, I still feel awkward saying it, but it's called gin. Ditto the place being all underwater. We could very clearly see with our glasses that out to sea to sound again about the shoals, the woman was as naked as ever she was born. We might not loose the least opportunity to even those parts which I always before now offer. For laying in port spends time to believe nature would have taught a woman to no purpose consumes our provisions, of which concealed then uncovered. We are very short in many articles, and we have yet a long passage. Misnomer. I went in search of fresh water, this inlet, but had no better success than before. I have named Thirsty Sound. Wherefore I gave over all thoughts, laying by reason we could find no ship ashore. It's called Two Fathoms. North, northwest, 43 minutes south, yesterday at noon, 6 leagues, 8 degrees, azimuth in 3 or 4 miles. Evening upward, 400, one single one weighed 140 pounds, exclusive of the entrails. In the PM, Saturday 5th, 6 people, 20 yards, 3 darts, 12 feet, 2 canoes. Half a pier distance, 1 mile light airs latitude. Topsails reefed east-east towards west. 3 water spouts at once between us, shortened, and the shore. Sails trending off the coast 9, south 30 degrees. Several pretty mountains, 4 halls, 4 prongs, alone, little before departing in the AM sunrise. For what reason I know not have thought proper to tack to this land, we deepened our water. At this time, I had everybody at their stations to put about and come to anchor. The man at the lead could heave another out upon the starboard quarter and hove upon guns, iron and stone, casks, hoops, staves, oil jars, decayed stores. The ship struck and stuck fast. The tide fell the ship is washed off, and part of it carried along with the water. This is in the anthropology, it's called Reconciliations, which I sometimes think is a synonym for reconnaissance. They again visited the sound. Being on board, I went immediately ashore. There were 6 canoes, variable light airs and calms in the night. The 6 I followed alone and unarmed at some distance. Small fires had a light breeze from the land. They would not stop until they went further off than mussels roasting on the fires. Some oysters, I chose to trust myself and disappeared, laying there. We tasted of their cheer, armed in the same manner, and we left them in return as those that came yesterday. Actual measurement. I always change the title since I have to keep looking at some name. Saw the island by variations that breeze of the compass. Noon anchored perpendicular to actual measure at the buoy. Meant I kept some time longer. Logan observed, this morning sun and moon found ourselves served portable soup in squalls squealing with thunder. The natives are no less plenty about the head. We saw their faces and bodies painted with a sort of white paint pigment. Seeing no stored provisions, we believe they depend upon the present day for their subsistence. The natives are no less plenty about the head. However, we could not know but very little of their customs, as we never were painted with a sort of white paint pigment, or able to form any connections with them. They have not so much as touched the stores we left. The natives are no less plenty about the head. The strings of beads we had left with the children were found laying in a hut painted with a sort of white paint pigment. We saw footsteps of men, holes dug in the sand. I did not wait to examine them. The natives are no less plenty about the head, painted with a sort of white paint pigment. Thank you.